Hey, drama listeners. Dylan here in honor of our 300th episode. Just popping by with a message of gratitude from Connor and I about just this entire journey that we've been on since November 2019 when we launched with our very first episode with Krista Rodriguez. Here we are, 299 episodes from that moment with Betty Who. This feels like such a culmination of the hard work that Connor and I have put in and just, being ourselves, talking to our favorite Broadway theater, film, television, actors, performers about a little bit of drama. Looking back, it's crazy that our 100th episode was with Annaleigh Ashford, our 200th was with Kelly O'Hara, and now our 300th is with Betty Who. I can only imagine what the next 100 episodes have in store, but for now, let's kick off summer. Let's kick off Pride with the incredible Broadway performer, recording artist, superstar, Betty Who. If you love the podcast, if you've checked us out over the last 300 episodes, consider donating to our Patreon. It's a $5 a month in-kind donation, but you're also getting something in return: bonus episodes, usually two a month from Connor and I, as well as access to our Instagram close friends. I mean, what more could you need? We have so much more in store, but for now, enjoy Betty Who. Thank you to everyone who's listening week in and week out. And let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain up an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, let me set the scene for you.
Okay.
It's summer 2017.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. I thought you were going to set today's scene. All right, we're going back. All right.
We're going back. One of the most consequential summers of our lives, as we recently were reflecting.
Actually, yes.
We were driving to Chicago from Columbus. We'd just gotten out of Pride Month.
Yes.
And I will never forget you somberly and resolutely singing The Valley by our guest today over and over and over again. And it was a religious experience, I have to just say.
You're so funny. Oh my God. I remember that too. I remember that too, because we had just seen them at Pride in Columbus.
Yep.
And well, that was the year I was working at the Spin Studio in Cleveland, and I could like choose the playlist, and I just played that album. And another album, but the two albums that were out at the time on repeat. I mean, talk about soundtrack of your life. And I can't believe this is happening right now. And
I know.
That's so funny. You remember that car wreck? I remember it too. And
yeah.
I'm so gagged. Like, and the music has only continued to filter into our lives and be such a huge, huge deal. And we're going to get all into all of it. But I know you're right. Summer 2017 did change a lot. That was like, we got into RuPaul's Drag Race. We got into today's guest.
Yeah.
That was our first Pride, right? That we went to like properly.
Yeah, which is we were too old to be that to be our first, but
well,
so
yes.
It goes. You're never too old. You're never too
you're
old.
Never too old. You're never, never, never too old. Okay. But Dylan, can you please read the intro and bring it in? Because I'm like shaking and sweating.
I know. Okay. Our guest today is Big. This Australian American pop trailblazer is an absolute superstar, known for her extensive musical discography and recent Broadway appearance as Persephone in Hadestown. Some highlights from their incredible career so far include the viral 2014 single, Somebody Loves You, captivating the collective culture for what felt like months, singing the theme song for Netflix's Queer Eye reboot, soundtracking for Pitch Perfect 2, performing on Broadway alongside Jordan Fisher and friend of the pod, double drama guest, Saleha Pfeiffer, and becoming a global icon with deep ties to the queer community. You'll know her hit albums Big, Take Me When You Go, Betty, and The Valley. Their latest single, Run, is already approaching 200,000 streams, arriving ahead of the Out of the Darkness tour across North America this summer. You can also catch her performing at the World Pride Festival in Washington, D.C., alongside J.Lo, Troye Sivan, Marina, Paris Hilton, and more. Their music has touched countless hearts, minds, and dance floors. We're beyond gagged to be sharing this conversation with her today. Please welcome to Drama, Betty.
Wow, I like being introduced like that. I was gagging at myself. I was like, who is she? Who are we? What are we doing? Wow, I feel so lucky. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is truly all ours. Oh my God.
Also, Connor, you're really taking that moment to make the valley yours. Just repeat, you said this is my moment. I know. I bet you were really getting into it.
It
I
was
felt like I
me.
was there.
I was giving breathy alto. Like, it was really something. And you were there.
There was a producer one time who used to call me Windy Lady, and I feel like that is us. We're
That's
the breathy
us.
alto Windy
Oh,
Ladies.
that's fun. I'm obsessed. Wait, so do you live in the valley?
I do, funnily enough, still
Oh
here.
my God.
Decided I loved it a long time ago. I married a Valley kid, also. That'll do it.
Okay.
So
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
brought me home. My roots are here. I love being here. I used to live in Hollywood, and it was just a little much. It was a little wild over there. So I'm so happy to be home. And as you know, I spent 6 months in New York last year, which was eye-opening, and it's been a long time since I've been there and lived there, and it felt very nice to come home to the I felt very actually Persephone for real in life, because I was like yearning for the sun all through January and February, and I came back to California and I was like, I am alive. That was good casting. Thank you, Benton.
Benton Whitley, of course.
Wait, Benton. Oh my God, I love Benton.
Benton
Did you see
Whitley.
the thirst trap that Benton posted today?
I didn't let me go. Pulling out the phone. I'm gonna go look at it right
You need
now.
to go. It's it's
Benton?
on
Oh,
his
oh,
story.
see, not a grid.
Not a
Benton?
grid. Not a grid. Not a, it should be grid,
Oh,
but you're gonna be gagged. Go off.
okay.
The body is
They
bodying.
said XFit, bro. Wow, I love this.
I'm gonna need your suggestions because this fall I'm having my bachelor slash bachelorette. Neither title really feels right for me, so we're going with Dylanette
I really like that.
because I'm getting married next February.
Oh my God,
Thank you
congratulations.
so much. And I'm
Yeah.
doing it in WeHo. I've decided I'm gonna bring all my
Correct.
friends. We're gonna go out there and have a good time. I'm gonna need some suggestions.
Correct. Okay, I can make a list.
Okay. All right.
I'm a my it's it depends what you want, because I think you have options, right? There is the instance variety of West Hollywood, which is actually less my vibe. I want like music videos on the TV, Britney, Beyonce. Like I want to dance to the pop songs, with a creative mix, perhaps. I don't mind a little crossover, a little mashup DJ moment, but I want to be able to sing along
Yes.
and pop lock and drop it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So if that's more your vibe, I have a list for you.
Yes, we're synced up. Definitely more my
Okay.
vibe. That, like some drag, maybe a drag brunch of
Yeah,
sorts.
correct. That's right. That feels right.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. But
Yeah.
this isn't about me. This is about you right now.
Or maybe it is, but
Oh
it's
my
okay.
gosh.
It's about
It's
us.
about us. Yeah. Betty, I've got to ask, are you well?
Yes and no, Dylan, is the answer to that question. I feel deeply, deeply unwell as I'm getting ready for tour, because there is just like tour prep is like when it rains, it pours, everything everywhere all at once, madness, truly hanging on by a thread, just like white knuckling it to the first date of tour. Do you know what I mean? So that's where I'm at. However, I am trying to be very grateful and excited, because it's been a long time since I've been in this process, and it is very overwhelming. And I feel like every morning I wake up and I go, ah! And I don't stop making that sound until about like 9:30 p.m. and then I'm asleep. Like it's just like, do not have time for silly shows, do not have time for the scroll. I'm just like, coffin style asleep. So I am well because I am excited about tour, and I am very grateful that this is a good problem to have. But fundamentally, no, deeply unwell is the long answer.
Same, to be honest with you,
Yeah.
but I'm so happy that you're going out on the road. Is this the first time since before Hadestown that you've had like a full scale tour?
Yeah, yes, it is. The last like full tour I was on was the big tour. Crazy,
Yes.
crazy. And that was in 2023. When did where
Okay.
what is time, to quote Billy Porter? You know what I mean? Like what is,
Yeah.
where is it gone? What's going on? So I feel like it's a little bit all coming back to me now. I'm like, oh, I do recall how this feels. Like the first, it's like putting the first single out. I was kind of like, whoa, do I even know how to do this? And then at some point, you're like, oh, okay. But I was having coffee with a friend this morning, and I shared that it feels like this entire experience of sort of reapproaching everything. I think in the past, my mentality has been, I'm going to step up to the plate, and if I don't hit a home run, I am a failure. and don't deserve to exist anymore, and everybody hates me, and you know what I mean, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh. Inner saboteur.
Totally, big me. That's really what's been going on. And this time I'm kind of like, what if I got on base? What if a bunt was okay? What if I just made it? So like putting run out
on,
feels
sports.
Like,
yes.
Yes, I know, strange. I don't know why this is the metaphor, but it feels like I have made it to first base on run. And now I'm like, okay, I can take a step off, you know, see where we're at. I'm really beating the metaphor into the ground, but you get it.
Yeah,
you know
yes.
what I mean? So it feels nice to like dip a toe and have that feel okay and not be like, but it's never enough. Cause that's kind of how I have felt in the past.
So I feel like this feels like a sort of a new era for Betty. When did this start percolating for you?
I think realistically, like end of last summer was when I was like, all right, I got to lock in. Time has come. I think I was a little trepidatious about stepping back out into the fray. I think that Broadway really put me down for a couple months. She really needed to rest.
Yeah, that's not an easy
gig.
It was a lot.
They really, I have so much respect and compassion for all the girls out there who were, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 8 times a week. I know it well now. And I did love it. I am a glutton for punishment. But I just, when I came home, I was like, I don't feel ready to make music. Like, I'm not, that was such a huge experience. I need to process. Like, it's been a while since I've been in music. Like, who am I without music? I kind of had to reset my personality a little bit and figure out, who am I today? Anyway, you get it.
Yeah. It's very Jean Valjean to be like, who am I?
I know it's like kind of insufferable, but it is the reality, just being like, I have to spend some time kind of grounding a little bit. Cause I think if I jump back in, all of the same problems I've had forever will still just be the problems that I have.
It's very interesting. I was just reading an interview with Orville Peck, who's on Broadway now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was talking about how he hasn't like reported to a boss.
Yeah.
Or like had to follow someone else's schedule and like, you know, all
that's
of
so
that,
funny.
The routine and everything. And that really sunk in for me, where I was like, that probably is so hard to be
crazy
independent, doing your own thing. And then all of a sudden you like are truly follow these rules at the whims of other people.
I just told the story the other day, but it is true. Rachel Chafkin, director of Hadestown, first rehearsal, we were sort of wrapping up after our like little table read and kind of conversation. And someone asked, like stage manager was like, so what time are we doing this thing, to Rachel? And I went, I think the schedule says, and I jumped in, and Rachel goes, hey, you don't have to do any of that anymore. You're just here to do this one part and you can let all that other stuff go. And I was like, came up and outside of my body being like, whoa, that's crazy. And it is a huge mindset shift, and I'm sure Orville is feeling it as well. The thing that is about Cabaret, I felt so lucky doing Hadestown, is that it was such a, speaking of breathy alto windy lady, like Persephone sits right in that zone for me, where I was like, oh, I actually can sing this 8 times a week. And I think about Eva's chords. I'm thinking about the girls who were belting out there doing this. Saleha. I mean, same. Just like, I'm so in awe of her vocal strength and ability. But yes, coming into doing, I actually really, there was a part of me that really appreciated it. I think something about being an artist, it's so self-starting. So it's like, no one's going to make the music if I don't make the music. Like, nothing is going to happen unless I want to do this thing. And so to be a part of a machine, I'm like such a team player. I love the community of theater. I loved being in it with other people, you know, it like felt like being back at school. And I feel like I've been graduated out of school and then just like doing this solo sport for my entire, a lot of sport metaphors today. What's
going on
with me? You
also look
kind of
sporty today too.
Well, yeah,
I
am trying to give like Sporty Spice meets Princess Diana. That's my Venn diagram of fashion right now.
Uh-huh. You're nailing it. You're nailing
that's the
it.
That's the Pinterest board. Yeah. But I think I actually really appreciated like building this tour right now is a great example of me having to really put my like artist cap back on, going, people are looking at me going, well, what do you want? And half the time I'm like, I made the music. I have to do the rest of this. I thought my part was done, but no, it's never done. And doing Hadestown, I walked in and they were like, stand here and say this. And I went, okay, That sounds nice.
Yeah.
I can do that. And I loved being, you know, in service of a story. I think it's also hard making music sometimes. It feels very self-centered because it is, you know, it's like I'm perceiving myself internally to write this music. And then I have to perceive myself externally to make the visuals and tell it, try to sell myself as a brand so that people will come buy tickets to see me at the show. And for Hadestown, I was like, oh, I'm literally telling an epic human story that makes people and me cry 8 times a week. And it's like teaching people something. And that was really, really satisfying and exciting for me to jump into and makes me want to do more of it. I loved it.
I know I was going to ask, do you feel like there's an itch to do more Broadway, maybe something, or maybe write for the stage?
Both. Yeah. I'm currently working on a Broadway musicale.
Oh my
I know.
God.
Very exciting. So I feel really original musical, crazy.
Okay.
In this
okay.
economy, what a crazy choice.
You're wild, Betty.
I am wild, but I feel very excited about that. And it's just given me such an outlet to like pour into like this narrative thing. Cause I think pop music is so not yeah. that a lot of the time, but yeah, it's funny. You know, I think I'm so wrong for most stuff. Benton Whitley again, this episode should be called Benton Whitley. I was so surprised that someone would take a chance on me and see me in this role that nobody had looked like me or was anything like me. It was such a departure from who had played that role before. And I felt very grateful for that because I'm so wrong for so much. I'm 6'2". I'm so tall. Like all I ever wanted to do as a kid is like be in a girl group. Do you know what I mean? Like the Spice Girls,
yeah,
speaking
yeah.
of. And then I'm just like, they're not going to put this giant lady in the group with, you know, all these 5'5" girls, you know? So I feel very other just by my physical being. And I think that it really like healed something in me to be part of a cast like Hadestown, where they allowed us to all really be ourselves and be like, that is your strength. Like play into this part of yourself. Like, I think I've spent the last 10 years trying to like disguise the fact that I'm really tall. And now I'm like growing into my body in a way that probably should have happened 10 years ago, but I'm, you know, in my 30s figuring it out.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're there now. Wait, I can remember seeing you do the choreo in Hadestown. I don't know what the song is, but where you're like bent over at the waist, like down.
Yeah, that's
and like watching your body.
Way down.
You seemed so in your body during it. It was amazing
nice.
To see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, I don't know if you have both had this experience where you look back at something and you're like that you did in your past and you're like, oh, if I could attack it with what I know now, it's like, I wish I had the knowledge that I had about being on stage that I learned at Hadestown now to then do it over and not kind of be starting from scratch. But it'll always be the place that I found a lot of that. And I think particularly at the end of my run, like it's crazy to me. It's one of the craziest things about theater to me is that you go on stage and your director goes, yeah, you're going to find it because you're doing it 8 times a week. And I'm like, no, I'm supposed to have it now.
Yeah.
And it took me like 2 months to land in the show and be like, I have found my show. And now like the deep exploration gets to happen. And that really blew my mind. I was expecting to walk out opening night and be like, no, I'm doing it. I know the show. And it's like, you are, but there's a deeper level of sort of dropping in that then takes a while to find and experience. And that I couldn't believe it when the director looked at me and was like, you're going to find it. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're going to find it in me in the middle right now. So I can go on stage and be ready, please.
Yeah. Oh, I totally understand that. Oh, you were remarkable. I loved you in the role so much. And I especially loved you opposite Philip Boykin. There was just some new energy in life put into both of those. I mean, it felt like a departure in a way for both roles, but you both were immaculate in my eyes.
I felt so grateful to be with Philip in the show because I'm literally obsessed with him. Like the way that he gassed me up and created such a space for me. Like, you know, he's Broadway icon and legend, Philip Boykin. And, you know, we're in rehearsals and he like pulls me aside at the end and he's like, I just think you're doing so well. You know, it's like, I work really well with positive reinforcement.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like he knew that going in. He's just has such a huge heart, and he makes me laugh. Like we're silly. He's silly, and I am a silly, silly little girl. And if you wind the goose in me, I am like, you know, the monkey with the cymbals. I just like I will entertain for as long as you will let me. And Philip really matched my energy, and I feel like I loved playing against him because I think I wanted to bring the feeling that I had for him in real life, which was this deep reverence and respect and love, which is like something you do feel for a partner, even if they're making horrible choices. And I think that really helped us sort of, we like fell in love again and again on stage together. And he took such good care of me. I'm just obsessed with him forever, forever and always.
That whole cast was so strong. I remember seeing it, and I think I posted this as the podcast, and I was like, this is the strongest Hades Town cast. Like, this is insane. Jordan Fisher, Slaya Pfeiffer, Lilias White.
Pretty crazy.
Betty, I mean, it was beyond.
I did my theater agent came to see me and he said, what like randomized sim family in the world is going on? Like, this is so like, in what world is Lilias White, Betty Who, Philip Boykin, Saleha Pfeiffer, and Jordan Fisher in the same cast? Like, that makes absolutely no sense, but it actually made so much sense. And actually, the five of us, that group particularly, talk about geese mode. Like, I think we turned the goose up in that building pretty high while we were there. I think when Saleha and I left, I heard a lot from the building, like, it's a lot quieter. And I was like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is a fact. I get that.
Saleha told us that the two of you were like all about Celsius backstage. And...
unfortunately, yeah, from my heart. Yes, I do believe from my experience now and knowing the people that I know now that Broadway runs on Celsius. Like, there should be an official partnership of some kind with like the Broadway community at large and all the bodegas around the theater district that sell Celsius. Because it is... I just don't know how. I think before, you know, in the 80s and 90s, everyone just did cocaine. So now, right. You know, like, you know, apples and oranges, but we're doing our best to get through the week.
Oh my God. I remember watching you and Slaya on social media too, and just all the fun backstage antics and everything. When you look back on those 6 months when you were in Hades Town, are there any moments that happened off stage, whether it be doing something in the Broadway community or just with friends that really stuck out to you?
I mean, like, countless things, because I just felt I had such a great time there and I really tried to make the most of it. And I think one of the moments that I actually really loved was we had a 5-show weekend at some point that was just like, it had been a big season, and the Renaissance World Tour movie was in theaters. And 5-show weekend, which means we're out like Sunday at what, you know, like 10:30, 11 p.m. And I texted our group chat and I said, hey, I'm going to see the Renaissance movie Sunday night at the 12 o'clock show at midnight at the Times Square AMC. Who is in? And like 8 people were like, I'm in. And a little mini group of us all went and saw the Beyonce movie in the middle of the night in Times Square, because like, otherwise, when are you going to do it? It's like, we don't have the time to see it in the normal waking hours. And I think that's sort of like the walk down from the theater and the group of us to go see a movie, like my favorite artist movie together. It just like, it was a crossing over for me of like my two loves all at once. And I think like alternate reality in my mind, I've always like imagined being in a show like that. Like, I watch shows about being in a show and I'm like, I wish that I had had that experience. And so to get that chance to make these connections with these people and in the show and in the building and be able to all like celebrate something from my current life that I love so much and be together in that sort of like social way was really, that is the one that sticks out to me.
Oh my God. I can picture it like snowing, you know, it's like,
it was actually pouring rain, but yeah, yes, it was. So everybody had the umbrellas. We were doing it anyway. I was like, come hell or high water.
Yeah.
We ride for Beyonce.
And the next day was a day off. So you got to rest.
I know, exactly. And I will say one of the greatest things to come out of Hades Town was Saleha Pfeiffer for me. Like, I think it's really rare in your adult life to meet those people that you sort of have that middle school thing with, where you talk to for 10 seconds and you're like, you're my best friend now. And I very much felt like the day we met, especially because she's such a tall queen, and that is a very rare instance. She's like, in the last couple of years of my life, has been that person who walked in and was like, no, we've known each other forever now, and you're important to me, and I am important to you. And I was like, okay. And I love it so much. I'm so grateful for that gift to come out of it.
Oh, that's beautiful. You mentioned that middle school thing. You know, sometimes around that age, it's where you discover your passion or maybe figure out what you want to do with your life. We do ask all of our guests.
Oh,
about...
is this the question? Okay, I love
it.
Okay, okay.
This is the question.
Set it up. Yeah, set it up.
I'm teeing you up here.
Thank you.
Oh, baseball.
See? Nice.
We're keeping it going. We ask all our guests about the Ring of Keys moment, which in the musical Fun Home is when a character identifies with something as maybe part of their being for the first time. We relate it to a life in the arts. It could be a performance, a performer, a movie, a TV show, anything like that. Betty Ho, do you have a Ring of Keys moment?
I have several for different parts of my life, but because we've been talking about theater and I know you two are theater people, I'm going to do my theater one because it's really silly.
Okay.
But I'm sure you're familiar with the Victor Garber Audra McDonald, now the most Tony nominated person of all time.
Say that.
Kristen Chenoweth, Alan Cumming, Kathy Bates rendition of Annie that did come out in our youth, in our former days. That DVD, I want to say VHS at the time, was a really important rotation for me. And I actually think it just like lived in the VHS player for me for like probably a couple of years. And I would come home from boarding school and I would just like slot it in and I would be watching Annie. And particularly it is in the moment in NYC, it is the star to be.
That's the best moment.
Who was the original, and she is the Annie from, is she the Broadway Annie? Who is she? The star to be in that movie is an original Annie.
I think it's Andrea McArdle.
Andrea McArdle. And she comes out and she says, and with the most perfect Broadway tone of any Broadway tone. Mm-hmm. And her just belting that and in the montage of it, because I love a tap number. Oh my, you should see me at a Broadway show when they start tapping. I start getting groovy. Oh man. And she came out and it's the boys are fouetting all over the place. And it's just like so iconic. And then she comes out with her $3, two bags, one me. And I was like, I want to be on Broadway one day. And I didn't quite know what that meant because I was a classical music kid. So I was like studying cello and I went to performing arts high school for cello. So I was like playing in the pit instead of being on stage for theater, which like I always felt sort of a little piece of my heart was missing in the equation, in the experience that I had. And so having that moment as a kid being like, I want to be the star to be, and then being so close to theater and loving theater for so long to finally full circle have that moment. Crazy. So that's my moment. And why? So good.
Oh, the best. Oh, good. So wait, when was your first time acting in a play or musical then?
This is really funny. And I actually don't know if I've told this story on a pod, but I love this story. Because I grew up so adjacent to theater and not really getting to be in it, actually the last show that I was in as any kind of lead, I was in the sixth grade to Broadway, baby. That's a leap.
Wow.
I was in the sixth grade. My all girls school in Sydney was doing Oliver and I played the Undertaker because it was an all girls school. And I remember my British accent being really good. For being in sixth, he's a born Undertaker's mute. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really dropped in.
You still got it.
I had the big hat, the top hat. I do, actually. I do a really good rendition of the song to this day. And that was the last time that I was on any kind of theater stage. I was 12 years old, singing in my Cockney accent, doing Oliver. And then I was in rehearsals for Hadestown. And I was like, let me dust these cobwebs out of here because it's been a second.
Doesn't the Undertaker get like a big number towards the beginning of the show?
That was my number.
Yeah. Okay.
With mourners in all corners. That's your funeral. That's there what it's you called. Go. Really iconic.
The foundation was laid.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned, Betty, that, you know, sometimes when you're writing pop music for yourself, it's very much like about a certain way. And then on theater, it's telling a different story. But I do feel like you find a way of kind of telling stories through your pop music too. Like even with Run, you're talking to yourself in a way, or about yourself maybe. Yeah. And I love the song too, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. It's so funny. Like for me, for a long time, Betty Who was my only creative outlet. It was like my whole creative world. So I think I have spent a lot of time trying to experiment for myself as a human who has a lot of different interests, but Betty Who was the only place that those experiments are coming out. So it's funny, like when Run came out, a bunch of people online were like, 80s Betty is back. And I'm like, in my head, I've always been 80s Betty.
Yeah.
That's always what it is. But then I was like listening back to some songs on the Valley and I'm like, whoa, Human Touch sounds like 2015. Like we made that song to try and compete at pop radio for this exact moment in time. And so I think that doing those different versions of myself through this one project, I did an anniversary tour for my first album that came out 10 years ago in the fall. And I played the whole album acoustic and I played on guitar and piano and I told stories. And having that moment to really be like acoustic singer songwriter, because that really lives inside of me, as well as the part of me that like grew up watching Britney Spears and wants to dance and have backup dancers.
Of course.
Like doing that let me feel a little bit of release from that. So now I'm like, okay, now I can like just focus on the backup dancer thing because I'm not trying to fit all things in one place. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm also experiencing that with now with this narrative outlet that I have to really write some crafted songs that are weaving stories in and out and feel very, as a songwriter, kind of like push the glosses up the nose, like get to work. It actually is giving me all this freedom now to be like, oh, like, you know, maybe I can make a song that feels a little bit more vibey for Betty Who, that doesn't have to have this like crazy narrative. Like I'm trying to show everybody that I can write a real song, you know. It's like, I think now I'm starting to understand how important that is for me to put all of these different things in different places and sow a lot of seeds, as opposed to try and just like watering the one Betty Who plant to the point that I'm drowning it. You know what I mean? That was not a sports metaphor. Yeah. I'll have you know.
I know.
I'm pivoting away.
You're a botanist as well.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sad that I missed your Take Me When You Go acoustic tour.
I know, we didn't do that many dates. It wasn't your fault. It's okay. It was.
Did you record it?
We did. We actually have a live album available for purchase. Two of the songs are available on streamers. If you any DSPs put up, I think we put up High Society and California Rain as acoustic versions from the live recording. We recorded it in Boston, and the entire album is available for purchase on my website.
Love.
It was such a like, you know, it's funny listening back to it. It's like not completely perfect because I wasn't completely perfect, and it's really just me up there. So I'm like, some of the piano notes, I like play the wrong thing because I'm thinking about so many things. And it was really an exercise in the whole picture, as opposed to really zooming in and being like, this one thing is wrong. It's like, no, the vibe of this whole thing is big, silly, you know, celebration energy. And I think I'm coming around to realize more that that's more important than sort of obsessing and making myself feel bad, or like not putting something out because there was this one tiny thing wrong with it and now nobody's allowed to hear it. I'm like, no, it's you get it. You listen to it and you can decide if you hearing me play the wrong piano note goes, I don't fuck with her anymore. I'm like, well, okay. You know, it's fine. I'm getting a little loose in my old age, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think as fans of music and stuff, I love when artists have like those organic, not necessarily mess ups, but like little moments like that. It humanizes you because you're larger than life to us.
Well, yes. Well, speaking of one of those moments, when I saw The Color Purple, I saw The Color Purple with Cynthia Erivo. Have you ever heard of her? I saw Heather Headley's opening night, and Heather Headley does something to me. The entire cast of that show did something to me. It was like a sensational next level performance, but Heather Headley, the way that she emotes is from a place that is like spiritual and ancestral. And it's just like a different, it's like the most inspiring thing to me in the world. And I remember seeing her in this role and thinking about, I can't believe this is her opening night. And I watched her drop a line and the whole theater went, because it's like, it wakes you up all of a sudden because the facade is broken, because they're not just doing the show and you're watching it and going, oh, it's like that, oh my God, are we safe in your hands as a performer feeling all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. And of course we are, because then she went, and she picked it right back up and we were back in, and I just grooved right back in with her. And I was like, that was one of the most special things to see, because it makes you go, this human is a human being who is it's possible to do the thing that they're doing and still be human, because I see her and I go, that's inhuman. I'm human. She's not human. That's crazy. And she let herself be human for 5 seconds. And I was like, oh my God, that's a person. And she's creating this next level feeling for all of us in this room. Did you see the video of her doing Into the Woods rehearsal of her?
It's like The Witch's Lament, right?
Children should listen. Yeah. Oh, that video came to me at a time when I really, really needed to see it. It was a really hard time in my life with family stuff. And it popped up on my feed like in a morning where I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. And it's like that ancestral thing where she just like, I laid in bed and cried for like 20 minutes after watching it, because it moved me to such a point. And forever, I will never forgive myself for not seeing the revival of Into the Woods. That's one of the ones for me.
Well, she only did it for a couple weeks though. So
I know a bunch of them only, and then they brought it, they did it at, was it at the Public? No, where was it?
It was at City Center. Right,
It
we're
was a city
now.
center. See,
Yes,
hello.
crazy. But no, I know she was amazing in that. But her in Color Purple, I know we all, I mean, Cynthia Erivo, honestly, next level in that show. But Heather Headley in Color Purple was spiritual.
No, she fucked
That
me
was
up.
truly something else. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of
So good.
performances that have just like changed my life and ancestral and like blew, I ex expectation being high and then that being the high expectation that you had realizing that it was in hell, it was so low because of how high the performance actually went was Audra McDonald. Like I went in to Gypsy. Kevin Solak playing Tulsa is
Legend,
one of my
legend.
absolute besties. That's my son. Someone at the show,
Oh
actually, I
my
was
God.
cheering so loud for him. Someone in the same row as me went, "Is that your son?" And I went, "I'm sorry, what'd you say to me?" Asked me if Kevin was my
Oh
son. So
no.
yes, he is. I couldn't believe when we walked out, he went, "I feel really bad. You're young." And I was like, "Hey, what I don't want to do is this with you now, actually, more than anything, is that I don't want you to now realize how wrong you did me just now."
Because then you live with that comment for a little while, you know, and it's like you
Well, you know,
can't.
it's you gotta laugh. Takes a drag
If
of the cigarette.
it makes you feel better, Kevin's kind of like my dad. So I
Okay,
just,
my son,
he's
your
like,
father. That makes you my grandson?
we're a blended family. A
Yeah, I think we are.
blended, a family can look like anything, Betty.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I went to Gypsy to see Kevin because I had to see my son in the show and knew that Audra would be like sensational, of course, because it's Audra McDonald. And as we discussed before, my affinity for her portrayal of Grace and Annie. Yes. So very exciting for me. And I had no idea. And I literally could not have been more off on how amazing I thought it was going to be. It sent me to space. I sat, I don't know if you've had this where a performer makes the breath catch in your throat and just tears are streaming down your face. Like I felt like I was suspended in time watching her do Rose's Turn. I hadn't felt something like that in the theater in the same way that I did, except for I'm Here, Cynthia Erivo doing I'm Here. Was the other moment of that where I was like tears streaming down my face. I am outside of my body. I am in like more in a room than I have ever been in my entire life. And I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know.
I know.
So if you haven't seen Gypsy, you better do it before Audra says, "I am done now," because listen, I think they're all contracted for a year. So you've got 6 months to get in there.
Yes, I know.
I
It's a
don't know
once in
how
a
she does
lifetime.
it. Like,
I
she
have
works herself all the way up by the end. Like, it must
No,
take.
because I was like, oh, she's gonna yell this whole show. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, literally, like, she was so to the back row of the, and that's a big theater. Hadestown is a small theater. Hadestown seats like 900 and something people. This is a larger, much larger room. And to see her projecting and singing and energetically, like, I didn't expect her to be so dropped in like mania, like the madness that sort of encapsulates that character and how she bodied that. I was just like, I cannot believe, because the show, it's like Audra, Gypsy. It's like, it is, they have put so much pressure on her in a lot of ways to really carry the show. And of course, I expected her to. And I, what's it, Danny, the guy who plays her
Danny
husband?
Burstein.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God, he breaks your heart.
Danny broke my heart, and it was the matinee. I was like not expecting them to go so hard, and I was like, what?
Full
It
out.
really, and the girl, I mean the whole cost, just but yeah, I could talk about it forever.
I know. I
No, it
love
was next
chatting theater with
level.
you, but Connor and I do need to talk about your music just a little bit more
sure
because
sure sure sure
as we
sure
kind of opened at the beginning, your music just has met us in moments in our lives that we have just it's just so powerful what it can do. And I just have to say, Connor and I are both obsessed with the song I Just Thought You Should Know from your self-titled album.
Thank you so
Oh my
much. I love
God.
that song very much. It's one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
I love to hear it.
Oh.
I love to see it. I love to know that that's the one for you, because that's the one for me a little bit too.
Really? What makes it the one for you, Betty?
Well, it is deeply inspired by Go West, King of Wishful Thinking. I don't know if you're
Oh.
familiar with that song.
Yeah.
Really, really big
Interesting.
80s song, one of my favorite songs of all time. And the production is just like some of my favorite production. And so it is. It, I think, evokes the world really well and gives me the feel that that song gives me. But I think it sometimes you just sometimes you're in a songwriting room and you don't realize that the thing that you're writing is not, I don't want to say as good as it is, but I like as is impactful as it's like I'm writing a song and I think all the songs are good. And then the test of time, comes along and I years later, I'm like, this song goes. Like the storytelling of it, the way that it leads up to the first chorus, like, and I know I should just shut my mouth and hang up the phone, but I still want you. I just thought you should know. That hits. That goes.
Goosebumps just
Well,
now.
because we all have, we've all had that feeling where we're like, should I reach out and tell them
I
this?
just
Should
want
I?
to
Should
say
I?
it. I'm selfish, okay? And I'm going to ruin your life. And I don't care. I need to say it. Yeah.
Oh, it's
I love that
so
song.
good. Another
Thank
vibe
you.
I really do love from Big is Someone Else. I think that one also has like a very special.
Thank you. Actually, that is like one of the least streamed songs on that record, which is so
Oh,
funny. You
surprises me.
know, you never know what people are going to want.
Yeah.
And sometimes songs that I think are like, are the one is just like, some people do, they just don't react or connect with. And I totally get it. But Someone Else is a song for me that like fucks me up a little bit because it's very, very personal and an experience for me of sort of not knowing what you got till it's gone. I don't know if you've heard of that concept
No, it
before.
sounds vaguely
I am the only
familiar.
person to ever write about it. But knowing that sort of trying to be brave after you've experienced a loss of a person, trying to, whether it's death, whether it's just from your annex from your life, and you're like, I have to get back out there and try and experience human connection. And I didn't realize how different it was going to feel until I got here. And now I'm like, oh man, wow, that, and that's a hard fact. And so I love the melodies in that song. I love singing that song.
Yes,
So
thank you for
good.
it. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I can't tell you how grateful.
Maybe the spins on physical media just aren't counting towards it, Betty. So you don't even know all the fans out there who are
You're
just
so
like
right.
the CD in their car or
Who
whatever it
have
might be.
Annie on VHS, who are just
Exactly.
playing it over and over
Exactly.
again.
Those. Exactly. Well, when the Valley turns 10 and you do those, anniversary concerts, I will be bumping that to Wannabe, which is one of my favorite songs of
See,
all
that
time.
is one
Yes.
of the ones I was right about because
Okay.
I wrote Wannabe and I was like, this is the one. This is the one. And
Yes.
the Who Crew have really shown that it was the one. It's one of my top streaming songs to this day and in my top 10. And it makes me so happy because it is just like an album, some album track. But I love that song so much. Actually, I'll tell you something that nobody knows yet. How about that? Exclusive drama. That I have only ever played Wannabe live acoustic because it's like one of my favorite songs to play acoustic because it is like a fan favorite. And then I get to sort of break it down and I make everybody else sing it. And I had a music director like 7 years ago be like, are you ever gonna play this song like the way it is on the record? And I was kind of like, shut up. No, I love this version. And this is the first tour. This is the first tour where we are playing Wannabe full tracks, like how it is on the record. We are gonna give it to the girls and we'll see how it goes.
Well, I'll see you in Columbus,
Oh my
Ohio for
God.
that. That is
Yes, you
amazing.
will.
Yes. Oh my God.
I have full body
Yeah, so
chills.
yeah, it's
With
exciting.
Run being, a single, maybe evoking, maybe more songs or something like that. Are we going to get some of the greatest hits too from these four albums in the
Oh,
tour? Okay.
of course, of course. I'm a big nothing but the hits kind of girl. I love to give the people what they want. I'm not going to sit and make you listen to the deep cuts of the old albums that you didn't stream. You know what I mean? I am in the metadata of what people are listening to, and I am making choices based off of that because I really have to know that some of the songs that I write like aren't going to be the ones that hit. I do think there's a balance to like there are a few songs that I love and I go like a song, well, Wannabe streams quite well, but a song like Missing You, which is like a ballad from my first record, like I ride for that song. It's one of my favorite songs in my catalog. Same way I feel about Just Thought You Should Know, where I'm like, this is like a kind of personality, like a really big on the mood board of Betty Who for me inside of myself, like Missing You is one of the songs to beat. I'm like, that is the best ballad I've ever made. And so maybe it doesn't get a million streams, every single minute, but I kind of think that it's important to throw even like hint colors of those songs that I personally really love in between all the ones that do really well. And there are a couple like I'm not sick of doing Somebody Loves You, which I'm surprised by. Maybe I shouldn't say it out loud. I'll spook it.
Yeah.
But after, it came out, the first version of it came out for free online in 2012. So it's been a long time of me doing that song. I have a great time. I'm like, the song's so fun. It's so up. we got choreography to it. I'm just, it's about getting, it's always at the end of the set, getting everybody like to if you have not participated in the dancing, you no longer have a choice. This is your moment. But I will tell you, unfortunately, High Society is one of the ones that I love that song. When I listen to it, when I'm singing it, I'm just like, man, I'm never gonna get done singing this song, am I?
Really?
I
Is
joke
it?
with my choreographer, being like, can we take High Society out yet? He's always like, no. I'm like, okay, all right, you're right. You're right.
We do love High
I
Society, I
we
have to say.
live that chorus feels timeless. I mean, it's beyond that hook. Wow.
I do love the song. There's just something about, I think it's like it's very mid-tempo. And so it's kind of like we're gonna rejig it on this tour, trying to make me fall in love with it again.
Will we get your backup boys
Of
on this tour?
course.
I always love seeing the three of
Betty and
you.
the boys.
Oh, it's the
Me and the
best.
boys. Yeah, we're getting more and more involved, you know. It's been interesting to, as I was saying, like finding my path between all these different things that I love. Like, especially it's a summer show. It's Pride, my time of year. You know,
Oh,
my
yes.
cryogenic freezer is opening up May 31st, and I am stepping out like into all of my power on June 1st.
It's like Mariah Carey with Christmas. It's Betty
I do feel
who,
very akin.
yeah.
Yeah. I actually, one of my favorite tweets of all time was on May 31st of last year. Someone said, don't forget to leave your pride flags out tonight for Betty Who. And I really like
Oh.
that. I really liked it. I think it's like a time and a place allowing myself to be whoever I want to be now, because knowing I can change it. I think that's something I've struggled with. And in the moment, currently, I'm making music that is for a dance show. I am like building more and more towards the dance show. Like, dancing is such a huge part of my expression of joy. And that's what I'm really trying to focus on making the show is, that's why it's called Out of the Darkness Tour. It's like we are all experiencing a really wild moment in our like shared culture and history. And I think it's important to create spaces to put all of that aside and find joy and let loose. And it's like kind of let your hair down and really, you know. But I think trying to celebrate ourselves along the way of knowing that this is a really difficult time in a lot of people's lives, I think is what my mission feels like right now. So dancing is a huge part of what brings me the most joy, and then how I try and get other people to feel joy. Because I think my vision, my idea is that if I am the one dancing the hottest, you're never going to look as silly as I do. So now you can feel safe to, like, I feel this at weddings all the time. Like, I'm the first one on the dance floor at a wedding because I love to get the aunties out. I get grandma out on getting those hips moving, a little groove going. And then I've had experiences where I go to the bathroom and I come back and the whole dance floor is dead. And I'm like, you guys, I left for 4 minutes. Like, come on. But that's what I'm trying to create at the show for sure.
Oh my
But
God.
she can dance.
She can also was a single, doesn't stream the way I thought it would. Pretty crazy.
God damn it.
I
That you
know,
never
pretty
know.
crazy.
Well, okay, gotta ask, will there be another single before the tour?
There is a new single coming out May 30th. It's called Sweat. And
Ooh.
it's very hashtag pride friendly, I feel. I wanted to make a song, again, building songs into this dance show I have a vision for. Like when we started working on this track, I always know a song is good or starting to take shape when I start to see visuals, because I'm so auditory. Like I know what I want music to sound like, but I don't have like music videos in my mind that much. I'm just so sound driven. And so when I start to see images or have feelings that evoke images, that's when I know that something's going on. And when we started to make this song, I saw like festival. I was on stage and I was like, okay, I love when a song puts me on stage, because then I'm like, I know how to proceed. So I feel like it's very high energy. I'm very excited. I just love the feeling of it. It gets stuck in my head a lot. So
Oh
that's
my
all I'll
gosh.
say.
I love you said hashtag pride friendly. That's so funny.
Hashtag pride friendly.
That's
Trying to get all the girls to
amazing.
bump it this summer.
Oh yeah, we
They
will. We
will.
will.
They will. And now, is this all team? Do we have an album in our minds that you're thinking of, or?
I think I'm gonna do an EP. I think I'm
Oh.
feeling the album cycle is a little large for me right now. I'm trying to, like, as we talked about the bases, not to
Yeah.
bring it back to baseball, but here I am. I'm just like, I want to make it around one time. I want a single run. I feel like an
Yes.
album is big, like I'm hitting a home run feeling, and I'm just like, I just want to make my way around once, perhaps twice, before I see what else is going on. And that's kind of, it feels very full circle. That's how my career started, was making
Yeah.
songs and not knowing what to do with them. And so I put four or five of them on an EP, and then a combination of those became my first album. And so I think I'm sort of returning to form in that way, where I need the space to experiment and try some different things and sounds and feelings and go, I love the song. Like, maybe I wouldn't put this out ordinarily, but if I'm just doing EPs, it's not like these songs are fighting for a place on an album. Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
So it gives me a lot of freedom and room to explore, which is what I think I really am I need right now.
I'm obsessed with it. I feel like you're very in tune with yourself, Betty. Like, you're truly, like I said earlier, like, you're in your body and you know what you want and need right now. And this is going to be, this is the best era coming up here.
I hope so. I think I do feel like it took me a long time to realize, big Kylie Jenner energy, this is the year of realizing things. Yes. I do think that this moment for me does feel good because I am making some new choices. Even like, it seems silly, but the hair theory of it all, my hair is long for the first time in my adult life. And it's like, I don't even know what I'm doing with my hair, but I know that it's different from what I've been doing. And I think I think I just am so hard on myself. I think most people have this experience in some way or another. I give so much grace to other people, but absolutely zero to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I am really, really trying to create healthier space for myself to create and be and stumble and fail and be and go, my goal is to fail and learn, instead of my goal is to be the biggest pop star in the world. And if I'm not tomorrow, I am horrible, you know? So now I think that as much as it feels like more vulnerable than maybe ever, it's so crazy when you like get into the biz. I was like 21 being like, perceive me, like, look at me. And now I'm in my 30s being like, no, don't look at me. I'm scared. No, I'm not ready. Stop it. So I do feel these, the fear, but I want to be hashtag brave Sarah Bareilles. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I will continue to try and put myself out there, even though it feels scarier than ever to do that. And try and create a space for people to feel joy. I just want to be, I'm just a silly goose who's trying to make you feel good. That's the whole thing.
You're succeeding. The goose energy is real.
Yeah, goose, big. I think it's so funny, when I came up, it was very like, everybody was so cool and indie and like moody. And I was like, ooh, I can be these things. And it's taken me longer than I would have liked to be like, oh, am I supposed to be myself? Whoa. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Groundbreaking. But yeah.
Why did nobody tell me? So the goose is here. She's not going anywhere, unfortunately for you, but not for me.
You seem like such a pop culture person. Like, you referencing Kylie Jenner. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what your pop culture diet is like, but on the podcast, we always like to end with a dose of drama. This could be something on our minds that's that show we're binging, or something we want to recommend, that music we can't get out of our heads, or that TV show, you know, we're obsessed with, et cetera. And Dylan, I'll kick it to you to start off. We're all going to share a little dose of drama.
Okay. I love this. And yes. You get to recommend to me as well.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is so fun.
Well, mine's an observation. And I just think I'm sensing something for this summer. And Betty, your hair is very much evoking 80s Betty, yes, as you mentioned earlier. I love that the 80s are kind of coming back around in a way, like the jeans that people are wearing, the mustache, like the whole vibe. I'm really, really loving it. And I feel like this summer is going to be sweat to evoke your song too. And very 80s, you know, I'm not saying like Reaganomics 80s. I'm just saying like the vibe, you know,
the fashion, the music.
And I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
The music is your single. I mean, Run has some 80s synth, I feel.
Do you feel like that's because we are craving so deeply a world in which we weren't all addicted to our phones, and the 80s was like the last time that like technology was at exactly the right place? Like, yes, we got the synthesizer, but we didn't have the mobile phone. Yeah, like, right. That's why that music is, I love 80s music so much, is because it feels like the perfect Venn diagram of like organic sounds and electronic sounds, and how it's like, you know, I think that is, if I were to psychoanalyze your suggestion, it would be because we all just, we yearn for a simpler time.
Yes. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to leave my phone at home when I'm at the club, but you know,
in the club, we are all fam. So
we are, yeah. But imagine that, you know, going out and not having to worry about your phone. That's interesting too. Or it being charged.
Isn't that crazy? Or when you like I hear stories and people being like, well, we didn't have cell phones, so I had to like walk for 6 blocks to try and find somebody to call 911. And I'm like, oh, whoa, what a different life.
So that is so crazy. I know.
Connor, yeah. Connor, give me your dose of drama.
I'm not just doing this because Betty has an album called The Valley and lives in the Valley.
Shut up, Connor!
Were you going to talk about the Valley on Bravo, or have you ever watched it?
The reality show? No, actually, I haven't watched it, but because I live in the Valley, there is a huge billboard like six blocks from my house for The Valley. And I'm like, gotta see it. I mean, gotta get into it.
It's extremely dark reality television. It's basically about these people in their 30s or maybe a little bit older who have decided to like leave Hollywood behind. They're living in the Valley to raise families, et cetera. And their relationships are sort of falling all apart, but they're coming together as friends to experience this phase of life together. And this season is so incredible. It feels so real. It's so entertaining. It's, I hate to say it, my comfort show at the moment, because it's just, great. I'm locked in. It's demanding my focus in a way that I was not expecting. So I do recommend The Valley on Bravo. It's so good.
Okay. But I have not seen it, but is it only second season?
This is second season.
It's a spinoff of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, did you ever watch that?
What do you mean dark? Can you explain to me what you mean by it's so dark?
Well, one of the characters, he's a character to me on TV, but he is a real person. His name is Jax.
Sure.
Jax Taylor, that is. And he's going through some very troubling addiction and marriage issues in his marriage. So he did check himself in to a rehab facility that he's only planning on spending half of the time there in. It's a 30-day program, but he really only wants to do 15 days. So that's tough to process on TV.
Yeah. I think I actually hear about these people mostly from, I follow E! News.
Oh, yeah.
And they give me a lot of information that I didn't ask for. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, they provide me a ton of that.
Yeah.
And I actually think I've heard that name specifically from seeing things that I'm like, did I ask for this?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. But now I know.
There's tons of infidelity and lies and rumors and stuff. I mean, it's entertainment.
Great TV.
Yeah. It's good TV. It's good TV. Now, Betty, do you have a dose of drama to send us home with?
I do. So I don't know if you've heard of the app Goodreads. Are you on Goodreads? Okay. So What were we going to say?
Oh, well, I was going to say I was on it and then I deleted it as a digital detox. And I was like, okay, of all the profiles online to delete, I'm deleting the one about books. Like what?
I'm going
to
keep TikTok, but I'm getting rid of Goodreads.
Like what's wrong with me? But it's a fabulous,
I love that for you.
Fabulous place for us to gather.
It is. I haven't felt like excited about reading in so long because there's so much media to take in. And over Christmas this year, I got a book for Christmas and I read the book over Christmas and I was like, oh, reading. What's it like? Wow, this is exciting. Has my brain been asleep? Maybe it's waking up. Maybe this is good for me. So a couple of my girlfriends and I have like a very loose casual book club where we just like we pick a book and we all read it. And when everybody's finally finished, we get together. It's like a fun excuse for us to get on and have some wine and talk, and we're all over the country, so we get to hang out and discuss books. We have, for the first couple books, mostly read like pretty like silly delicious beach reads.
Yeah, like Emily Henry.
Oh my God, we love Emily. Although one of the readers in our club has already read every single Emily Henry book. So we are actually, Emily Henry is not allowed to be in the book club because she's already digested them all on her own. But the book that we just read is called Martyr. This book, Mata, I haven't loved a book like I loved this book. It's a strong, I'm strong selling it to you, but that is because it moved me so much. I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but his name is Kaveh Akbar.
Okay.
And it is a book about a character who is fascinated with martyrdom, and his prose, I'm pretty sure the writer is mostly a poet. Like most of his other books are like essays or sort of groupings of poetry, and the prose in it, it just like the amount of stuff I highlighted of being like, that's the most beautiful way I've ever heard somebody say that. It actually reminds me a lot of songwriting in the way that it's like, I'm taking something that you know, but I'm saying it in this new way that makes you feel something and evokes, like it evoked for me. And I haven't like cried while reading a book, and I can't tell you how long, like it made me cry. And, but in a, not in a like dark, the Valley way, but in a, whoa, this is like, life is so beautiful. And it floored me, and I have never read anything like it. And one of the top comments on it on Goodreads is like, I'm jealous of you for not reading this book. I wish I could wipe my memory of this book and read it for the first time again. And I think that is such a high compliment to be like, I wish I could experience this for the first time again. So that's my rec.
I love it.
For book talk. Yes.
For book talk. For book
yes.
talk.
For book drama. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
We had so much fun with you today. This seriously meant the world to be able to sit with you and talk about some of our favorite songs as well as your theater career. This was very special for us.
And Audra McDonald. Yeah, we could do this all day.
We could.
I'll see you in Columbus.
You will see us in Columbus. Connor's going to be coming for Pride as well. And
yes, Connor.
Everyone
come visit.
Yes. Oh yeah. We love
I'm going to meet your fiance.
Oh yes, Hunter will be there too. He was with me at the big tour as well.
Oh, I really love this history for us, but
Oh
now
yeah.
we're like connected and now it's
I
real.
know. Yes, I can't
Wait, but
wait.
I wanted to say this on the pod and I didn't say it before because I said it before. These two making an independent podcast 5 years ago, now have this iHeartMedia deal, are just like you're living your dreams. And I'm so proud of you for the journey that you've been on because I know it's very difficult to take an idea. Usually you're being like me, a silly little person. Who cares about this thing? And look at you, I care. We all care. And I'm so proud of you and happy for you.
Thank
Oh
you so
my
much, baby. You have
God.
no idea how much that
I'm gonna
means. Oh my God, it's
cry.
surreal.
I mean it. I mean it.
You are so genuine. We just love you. Thank you so much. I can't wait for this tour. Oh my God.
Thank you so much. I know, me too. I can't wait to see you.
In the meantime, everyone's got to stream Run. They got to stream Sweat.
I
And
know.
also need to follow Betty on all the social medias. Just at Betty Who everywhere.
I think that's right. I might be Betty Who Music on TikTok, but yeah, Instagram Betty Who. You just like you look up Betty Who, you'll figure it out.
And while everyone's following Betty, they've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Betty. This was a dream come true. And Connor, I'll see you next time.
Drama.
Drama! I want to say it too.
Oh, yeah.